So glad you're here, and it's good to see Jennifer here tonight. Jennifer, welcome. Glad you're here. And good to see some we haven't seen for a few weeks, to have you back. It's awesome. So Lord, tonight, all of these requests, we come before you, Lord, and you know all about it already. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You know all things. But Lord, we are still called upon to bring these needs to you. And Lord, in every situation, we pray healing, we pray peace, we pray comfort, we pray encouragement. And Lord, wrap your loving arms around each situation that has been mentioned here tonight. And too, within this body of believers, there are many needs tonight right here. And Lord, I pray that you would touch each one of us where we stand tonight. And Lord, we thank you for your love and for who we are in you. So now, Lord, we commit each one of these needs into your hands. In your precious name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. So I'm going to continue on from where I was last week, and I just want to do a bit of a refresher. I just want to read again what I ended with last week on 1 Corinthians. In his presence. Remember, we started in his presence in the temple that Solomon built to the Lord. And when Solomon dedicated that temple to the Lord, the place was filled with the presence of God to the point where the priests couldn't even go in. Presence of God. Today, in the New Testament, that same presence is in us. So we pick up in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, which reads as follows. Or do you not know that who is joined, just a minute, just want to read 6, 19 to 20. Let's start 19. Here it is. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price through Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, Lord, tonight I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that each heart in here tonight is prepared to receive from you. That we're reminded once again that we are not our own. That we have been bought with a price. It's paid in full. And that we belong to the Lord. And Lord, in this earthly vessel, Lord, that there is nothing, nothing that we should do to this earthly vessel that would dishonor it. By watching or listening or doing things with this earthly vessel that are not godly. So tonight, Lord, thank you for your word, and may we apply it to our hearts. In your precious name I pray, amen. Yesterday, when I met with the pastor from Sherwood Park Alliance Church pertaining to Wes's funeral, and as we sat in the conference room and went through the order of the service, at the end of it, I asked Pastor Rita if I could pray. I really don't know what happened then, but the Holy Spirit dropped in that room. And as we started to pray, the tears just flowed. If you want to experience the Holy Spirit, it takes a soft heart. It takes a soft heart. What kept the Israelites out of the promised land for 40 years? It was a stiff-necked, hard heart. God is going to take us around that mountain, around and around and around, till we get it. The Israelites, it was only an 11-day trip to the promised land, and it took them 40 years. My prayer is, God, I don't want to be going around that same mountain over and over and over that you keep putting your finger on my life, and I won't listen. How often do we do that? This actually has nothing to do with the message that I'm going to preach on tonight, even if I get there. How many times do you want to go around Mount Sinai and God says, come on, come on, daughter, come on, come on. This thing in your life that you keep doing over and over, how you keep gossiping about people, how you keep telling half-truths, come on. How long are you going to keep that up? How long are you going to allow unforgiveness to continue in your family? The one thing that I see today in the church, in the communities, is divided families, divisiveness. It's just like there's a curse on the land. And a lot of times they say we don't even know why we're not talking. Why not? Just go in and just say, you know what, I don't care what I have to. I'm sorry, whatever I said. But the Bible says in the end days it'll be mother against daughter, father against son. There'll be divisiveness in the home like you have never seen. Because of an ungodly society. And we're seeing it just rampant. I don't know about you lately. It's just like I can't handle the news. Like every time you pick it up, like goodness sakes. And you don't have to go very far. Just look at Edmonton. just to put a little bit of humor in it, because you think, boy, he's really wound up tonight. Do you know, we've been working at snow removal for 100 years and we still don't know how to do it. Come on. Like, what is the problem? All you have to do is go down the street, load it up, and haul it away. But now we got people chasing the guys trying to do it with shovels and everything else. What a society. When you go to a bridal shower, today there are bridal showers where you go to before because you already know what it's going to be, a boy or a girl. I said a boy and a girl. No. Baby shower. Thank you, dear. Wow. A boy or a girl? A lot have showers maybe after. Many have them before. In the Middle East, they would always have a form of baby shower after, because the mortality rate was so high. So you'd usually wait till the baby came into this world. But we're going to look at a baby shower tonight that maybe you just went, let's put yourself in this setting right now. Just walk with me. Use your imagination. You're going to a house where there's been a baby born, and the dad is called Joseph and the mother is Mary. And you're not even a relative. You've just gone there and you're bringing a little blanket or some food. And you're coming to this house. And you get there with your little gift, and the whole block has got a caravan jam. Camels in Bethlehem. Camels all over the place. What are these guys doing here? And they look like they're very wealthy. And so you're standing here with your little gift, and they're unloading camels. Now, for those of you who like to get your nativity scenes out every Christmas, and praise God for nativity scenes, I am so proud of Sherwood Park that they have a nativity scene, right? You know, you need to go in and tell them thank you, email them, text them, because there are most cities now, the dignitaries will not allow it. Really, no Jesus, no Christmas. If you guys would ever get it. The camels are lined up on Bethlehem Street. Now you wonder, how did this all happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're just going to pick up. This is not a Christmas story. I'm talking tonight about the presence of God and how he reveals himself in so many different ways. So let's pick up on it. We're going to go to Numbers 24:17 is where it starts. Numbers 24:17, just one verse I'm going to pick up, and then we're going to go to the New Testament. But this is where this starts. Verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of tumult. What is happening here? Just a little bit of history. As you know, the Babylonians came in, sacked Jerusalem, took everything away to Babylon. And they were held captives there for 70 years in Babylon, which is today modern Iraq. Then the Medes and the Persians came in and defeated the Babylonians, and now King Cyrus. God places in his heart to allow the Jews to go back home to rebuild the temple and the city. But there were a lot of Jews who stayed behind, and they had the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And they would have read that Torah on every Shabbat. So where did these wise men get this information that eventually they would go looking for Jesus? A star shall come out of Jacob. These are ordinary wise men, highly educated, and they were astrologers, and they see this particular star and they start following it. Now, I've said this many times before, that trip from Babylon, Iraq, and that bottom, Susa, in Iran, in that bottom area, to go from there to Israel is a 3 months trip. You follow the Euphrates all the way up through Syria, through Damascus, and down into Israel. And it was very dangerous. So this wouldn't be just three wise guys on three wise camels. Like you see in your nativity scene, they always have three wise men there. Nowhere does it say in the Bible there's just three guys. We just get that from there was three specific gifts. But a caravan had to be huge in that day because of raiders. It was very, very dangerous to be traveling with riches. So they would have traveled for up to 3 months, which would have put them into Jerusalem. Are you still with me? Are you all nodding off at me tonight? Are you okay? You're staying with me? We're getting to the meat here. Good. Now we're going to go to Matthew 2, and we're just going to pick up there for just a moment. Matthew 2. I'm going to read a few verses, and then we're going to look at what's happening. Matthew 2. Now remember when this caravan came into Jerusalem, it caused a real stir. It wasn't a few guys on donkeys. This is major. These guys, if you watch some of the old movies, right? And they got the camels all adorned and with tassels and robes. I mean, there's something to see. What was that one movie that went on forever years ago? Sorry, I shouldn't even go there when I'm trying to think off the top of my head. And after Jesus was born, Matthew 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. How many did it say? Three. I don't see no three in there. I don't see any numbers at all. Just men. And so we always have our nativity scenes, like I said, with the baby Jesus, Mary, a shepherd, and three wise guys. But that's okay. But this is really what happened. Behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." There's two points here, remember. There's the physical star, but then there's the spiritual part of this, and we're going to come to that. When Herod the king heard of this, he was troubled. I mean, this really affected the king. The king that powerful and these guys coming from the Middle East saying, "Where's the Jewish king?" He was upset. He was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. All of the city was troubled. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written by the prophet, 'For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And we looked up Numbers 24:17. There it is. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you've found him, bring him back to me, that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they'd seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. At this time, Joseph and Mary were no longer in the stable. At this time, Jesus would have been probably between the ages of a year and a half and two. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly greatness, with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some of the most costly items that you can ever purchase. And I don't believe it was in small amounts. These were very, very wealthy individuals in a very wealthy caravan. But God was already supplying for Mary and Joseph, because right after this, Herod said, "I want every boy under the age of two killed in Bethlehem." You know, the old devil has been trying to take out God's people forever. Forever. He will try this, doesn't work. He'll try that, doesn't work. All the boys in Bethlehem under the age of two. The soldiers would have come and killed your child in front of you, mother. And the mothers wailed and grieved. They say at that time, the theologians would tell us at that time, the maximum amount, because Bethlehem was a very small community. As serious it was probably about 20 boys or less. But even one was too many. But God always makes a way for us. God came to Joseph and said, take your child and go to Egypt. And God supplied for their needs through the gold, the myrrh, and the frankincense. God always provides. The three words that I'd heard mentioned here a while back by a preacher that have really stayed with me. I'm going to conclude with this thought tonight. I'd like to come back and speak on it again sometime. It's still stirring in me. In each of our lives, there is a promise. You know, God said, "I'll prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future." We have a promise. But right after the promise usually comes problems. Many times I've seen people come to the Lord and they're just so excited, and bam, and the family says, "We never want to see you again." That's my wife's testimony, Annette. When she came to the Lord, her family said, "If you don't stop this foolishness, we don't want to see you again." Did you know when a Muslim comes to the Lord, he is ostracized? They put a death warrant on his life. And that's why when many times a Muslim comes to the Lord, he actually needs to have a revelation of Jesus, because what's going to happen to him in the days ahead is if his employer is a Muslim, his family's all Muslim, he is ostracized. He is as good as dead. That's a price to pay. First comes the promise, then the problem. Example. Everyone still staying with me? Do you know, I really feel like preaching. I'm just getting going here. Promise. Moses is out in the desert following sheep. Good life. No pressure. Minding his own business, and all of a sudden, here's a bush. Wow. Wow. I didn't bring anything to barbecue today. Here's a burning bush. Just keeps burning. And then a voice saying, "This is holy ground. Moses, take your sandals off." Whoa. I'm going to use you. I'm going to send you to set my people free. Here come problems. We all just would like to serve Jesus and go through the tulips and, oh, praise God. Here come the problems. Go to Egypt. Moses is dying. God's going to kill him. Why? Because he hadn't circumcised his sons. In the Jewish culture, you are circumcised. That means you are dedicated to the Lord. So his wife is circumcising his two sons. I mean, this for, I'm sorry, girls, this might be gross, but I'm talking Bible here, so. So in the, at the end of it, she circumcised the sons and Moses is healed. Moses finally gets the Israelites out of the land, out of Egypt. And they're doing well and they're heading to the promised land. And whoa, here comes the Red Sea. Promise. Here's the promise. Coming out of the land and where you were whipped and tortured, going to the promised land. Red Sea, Pharaoh's soldiers behind. Problem. Does that feel like your life? There's days like that. God, you promised you'd look after me. Here's a problem, but here's the third P, provision. Don't forget provision. God will make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Every time. Isn't there a song, God will make a way when there is no other way? Isn't that awesome? That's what I'm going to leave you with tonight. The provision. God loves you. Promise, problem, provision. Lord, tonight, this word that you gave us about your presence. Lord, how you looked after your son in that home way in Bethlehem, and wise men traveled for months to honor the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They looked at the physical star, but Lord, the spiritual star. His name is Jesus. Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Lord, tonight we thank you for the food that you provided. Thank you for fellowship. Thank you for friends. Thank you for this time we could spend together. And now, Lord, you'd say to us tonight, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. Our shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in a time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in a time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge here, a shelter in a time of storm. Thou art helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
A shelter.
I shelter.